I named this Front Lines. Anybody know what happens on November 11th at 11 p.m. or 11 a.m.? No, come on, you can speak up. You're loud. Veterans Day. Veterans Day observance. November 11th, 11-11 at 11. Okay? All right. Do you know where we do it here in Avalon? Down at the mall. That's right. So is it on a Friday this week? Yeah, that's right. So 11-11 at 11. I know where to find you on Friday. Okay? We'll find you there on Friday. That'd be good. Okay, that got me thinking about front lines. That movie that's coming out, Hacksaw Ridge. You see the previews on that thing about the guy who takes no weapons in, and you know he still saves a number of lives. And you know, well, there's this one scene in the preview where they show Hacksaw Ridge, which is like Hacksaw Cliff, and you know they got cargo nets climbing up it, and I'm like, really? Really? You're going to go up that? That's the front line that you're going to try and breach? It's like, oh my gosh, what an insurmountable climb that would be. I'm dying to see that movie. I'll bet you that guy that took no weapons with him, I'll bet you he had some. They just weren't guns. But we'll talk about that in just a second here. Listen, the struggle is real. I don't really care if you want to call it a struggle, battle, conflict. It's real. Look at what it says in Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Let's just take that phrase for a second and think on it. The powers of this dark world. Okay? And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. You are engaged in a battle. Whether you like it or not, you're engaged in a battle. And he wants to win that battle. But interestingly enough, as I think about it, you're probably not engaged in just one battle. See, Paul liked to talk about soldiers. It's what he taught in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, he says this to Timothy. Remember, Timothy is one of the guys that was learning from him. He was teaching him, and he's going to send him out as a preacher. He's going to send him out into the world. And he says to him, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." So in other words, I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out to take what you've heard me saying, and I want you to say it, but I want you to say it to others who are going to teach it to others. And lo and behold, Christianity soon began to take over the world. Now, the next thing he says to this poor young man is, "Join with me in suffering." How many people have you invited someone to your house? Come over to my house and have a suffering. Okay? See, because that's not what we do. We don't invite people to come and suffer with us. Okay? Even if we're doing something hard, hey, I got to dig a ditch, but it can be fun. Uh-huh, sure it can. No, we're going to have some beer and pizza afterwards, and it'll be a wonderful thing, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, whatever excuse you use to try and con somebody into doing the hard job, you know? Well, Paul didn't do that. He said, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in, oh, excuse me, join with me in the suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, nobody, if you have an illusion that being a soldier is easy, wrong. Never easy. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. And I just want you to know, when I was entangled in civilian affairs watching the Cubbies game the other day, and I was thoroughly enjoying that, and then the rain delay came to give a pause so the Cubbies could regroup and come back and win, you know, I just want you to recognize, yes, I was indeed engaged in civilian affairs. But not my focus. It's so fun. I get into such great discussions with some of my dear, dear friends sitting in the front seat wearing a blue shirt about who should win the games. And I just, it was After 108 years of losing, I'm sorry, I even had to celebrate it from up here a little bit. I know God does not pay attention to those things in the way we want him to. I was thinking to myself that every time we gear up for battle, we go to a front line. Now, what is the most common front line? I actually thought of three front lines, and I named them Alpha, Bravo, Charlie. Okay? Alpha, Bravo, Charlie. So I want to talk to you about frontline alpha. Okay? This is where the battle begins. The battle begins, the old self versus new self. Anybody remember Paul in Romans where he talks about, I know the things that I should do, they're really clear to me, and I know I should do them, and I don't do them. That was Paul talking about that battle. Do you ever battle that battle? Or are you guys all more perfect than I am? I just checking. Perfect people, please stand up. Okay, good. No perfect people inside of here. See, the fact of the matter is we are engaged in a battle against, yes, those spiritual forces, but we are engaged in a battle against the sinful nature that has been put down, okay, by the new life that we find in Christ. But I don't get us sometimes. Neither did Paul, neither did most of the teachers. Why is it we have this new life in Christ and we keep doing this? Do you know when soldiers want to go home the most? When they're sitting back in their barracks. When they're engaged in the battle, Steve, when you as a Coast Guardsman were in the front line, when you were out there rescuing someone out there, did you want to go home? It was the best thing in the world, wasn't it? You were in the middle of the battle, and you wanted to be there. See, it's when you're not focused that you want to go home. So Paul says, I want you to armor up. And he says this in Ephesians 6. Anybody mind reading? Anybody like to read? Anybody like to read? Oh, I like you. There's always one in a crowd, and I always appreciate that one. Would you turn to Ephesians 6 for me? Ephesians 6. Now, I want you to think about this. You have your choice, okay? The struggle is real. You have your choice. You can engage in battle, or you can go sit in the barracks and whine about going back to the old self, who you used to be. Oh, gee, that was kind of looked nice now that I'm over here safe and sound. Or you can armor up. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, Paul tells us what our armor looks like. Go ahead. Tell us what our armor looks like. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. In the Awana program, I don't know if you ever watched the Awana program, how they teach young children how to armor up. See, that armor that's in there in 6, you'll wear it all the time if you'll put it on. Okay? But if you don't put it on, then that old man, that who you used to be, that's who you were before you came to Christ, you put the sword down, take off that helmet, remove the breastplate, drop the shield, you're opening yourself up. You're opening yourself up to that old man to come in and for fiery darts to get into your life. In front line alpha, you got to stay armored up. Will you armor up today? If so, say yes.
Yes.
All right. That's what I want to hear. Everybody's alive. That's always a good thing to check. All right. Here you go. Frontline Bravo. Frontline Bravo. Local church versus the culture. Now, I want to be really clear here that when I say local church, I say it in contrast to the church. Okay? What is the church? Can anybody tell me? Huh? It is the church from the beginning, when Christ said, I will build my church, to right now, it's every believer, across that entire planet, right there. Okay? That is the church, every believer. Okay? The local church is where he brings bodies of people together, okay, and puts us together. So we are the local church. In a sense, and you recognize this, you are God's temple, so you are the individual church in that way, okay? But here I'm talking about the battle, and we just talked about that battle that goes on with that church, the old man versus the new man. Now we're talking about frontline Bravo. We're talking about the battle between the local church and culture. Now, if you thought you were going to show up here in church on Sunday morning and 2 days before an election and hear about politics, well, I'm here to tell you that you're not. You're going to hear about culture. But I want you to know that culture affects politics. Okay? There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about it. So if you think about that, in John 16:33, it says this. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Okay? Are you, as a Christian, going to have trouble? Really? You believe that? You're going to. You know why you believe it? Because it says it right there. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. See, even as you look at our culture and it battles and you go, how does this line up and how is this good? Even as you look at that, remember when I was reading in the scripture, if you look at the Last Supper, what's the last thing that he says? I will not drink this wine again until we are together in paradise. See, we know who wins in the end. You've heard that 1,000 times. The fact of the matter is it's overcome. We will win this because Christ has already won it. And so these cultural battles that go on should not become something that is what you are all wrapped up in, all the civilian affairs, because they really are civilian affairs. But that doesn't mean we withdraw from our culture, just the opposite. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you even to the end of the age. See, we're not just to withdraw into our holy huddles. Nobody ever told us to do that. Instead, we're to go out there and we're to start engaging. Now, here's some areas I feel we have conflict with the culture. Issues of poverty, how it's dealt with, the sanctity of life, marriage, religious freedom, freedom of speech, individual freedoms, freedom to travel. Do you know, in many countries, you have to get permission to leave the country. We got to get permission to come back in. Yeah, we give that to make sure that we really came from here. But do you know how many countries up there? You can't just go travel outside of the country, even if you have the means, without permission. Terrorism, decency, who's going to be our judges, what the law looks like, self-defense, national defense. Now, I got to tell you this. All of these subjects were taken from the Democratic and Republican platforms. And that final one is in both of them, which I find incredibly interesting that somehow or another, Israel and Jerusalem are still central issues in a country halfway across the world. Think about that. God's not dead. He's truly alive. And see, we battle these cultural things in a lot of different ways. One of the ways, yes, is politics. But you know what? In these areas of conflict, we actually have four. Count them. 4 weapons. All right. Before you turn to Gail, don't turn it there yet. What does anybody think weapon number one is? Come on. Give me a weapon. Prayer! Yes! There you go. Okay, weapon number one is pray. If you want to battle back the cultural differences, now, if you know me for long, you're going to know that I am extremely pro-life, okay? And as such, I have many pro-choice friends, okay? Because I've learned that my battle's not against flesh and blood. But I pray for them to have a different understanding. Okay? And that's good. That's good. They probably pray for me to have a different understanding. I don't know, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But in that area of culture, I feel that it's really pivotal. And so I've educated myself in that. And much like Paul, okay, told Timothy to teach other men, I believe that the second weapon is teaching. If you have an understanding of what God has for our culture and how our culture can best live, because if they live in conformed to the will of God, we'll live with more peace, then shouldn't you teach that? Or should we just withdraw within our holy huddles here and we only talk within here? By the way, you realize that there are people out there in the culture that believe that we shouldn't discuss the things that we discuss in here outside of these four walls, right? And there are countries where that is the truth. Matter of fact, one of those right now is Russia. If I, as a Christian, want to go stand on a street corner and talk about Jesus Christ or in a park, or even in my own home, based upon the newest law they passed, you can't do that. See, so we can pray and we can teach, but I also, if you're going to change something in the culture, and this, I'm only using this illustration because out of all of those things, the sanctity of life is the one I'm most passionate about. Out of all of those things, I can pray on it, I can teach on it, but I better be ready to serve in it, okay? Because that's the next weapon. I have a very, very dear friend that just adopted their third child. And all of those children that they adopted are the result of a decision by the mother to keep their child. And I bless them for their service in that way. If we're going to battle the culture, and there's something in that culture, did you realize that there are countries which are contiguous to us? That means they touch us, okay? Where for me to speak on certain parts of the book of Romans, even within this confine, would be considered hate speech. And I technically could be arrested. Now, that isn't happening in that contiguous country, and it's not south of us. But that doesn't mean it won't happen one day. But regardless of what happens in that, I'm going to serve. Took the kids one time up to San Francisco. We did an inner city outreach. And when we got up there, we were with the Salvation Army. And we were doing whatever they asked us to do. And they asked us to work with a group there called Angels of something. I can't remember what it was. Anyhow, our job, and what I took the kids out to do, yes, this was your youth group with a crazy youth leader who took them into inner cities. What our job to do was to take bags of food and provisions to homebound AIDS patients. And this is the kind of service that I'm talking about. Even though you may disagree with someone, doesn't mean you can't serve them and you can't find to serve them. How loudly are we supposed to curse those that curse us? Yeah, it's to bless them. My daughter was talking to me about something, and she said, yeah, they told me that if I would do it for anybody else, I got to do it for them. Uh-huh, exactly. We don't like those. We don't like those. We want to serve who we want to serve, when we want to serve, in the ways we want to serve, and those that agree with us. Okay? Here's my advice. You want your weapon to work? Go out and serve those who in the culture you disagree with. Okay? Show them what Christianity is all about. Do it through praying for them, for teaching them, serving them, but importantly, vote. Do you know how much of that globe right there never has the privilege to vote for who leads them? Now, I'm not going to get into which candidate and et cetera, et cetera. Not only is the government currently telling me I'm not supposed to do that, although everybody wants to argue about that, I just have no interest in doing that. None at all. I don't want to tell you which candidate to vote for. I will tell you this, that those platform, those cultural positions are all within the Democratic and the Republican platform. And I'm sure within the Green Party platform and the Independent Party platform, and, you know, you can get Jill Stein or Gary Johnson or, you know, whoever they might be. I don't care. I care that you care. Okay? That's my job, is to have you care. Does your vote make a difference? I'm going to let Billy Graham speak to that in just a minute. But what I want you to recognize is that the struggle is real. The struggle that we have is not some pretend thing. There is a battle going on. And you can go sit in your barracks, put down your weapons, and then that old man's going to try and come over and get you and drag you back into that front line. Or you can get into a front line in the local church, in your local community, and you can start doing something to battle against those spiritual forces. Gail, I've got a little thing from Billy Graham. It's a 7-minute video. It's good, I think. And then I'm going to wrap up with about 1 minute, and I'm going to let you all go. So if you can, hang in through this 7-minute video.
This tour comes at a time when several state legislatures have passed controversial religious freedom laws.
Ban on gay marriage was overturned in a 5-4.
Why one school faces a stiff penalty over prayer.
After a court told the state of Oklahoma to remove a monument to the Ten Commandments.
The question is, how much will Christian values play into this election?
We're on the verge, as Christians, of losing this nation. And the question people have is, Franklin, what can I do?
There's a sense of helplessness because we don't feel like we could change anything.
This country used to be a beacon of hope.
I think all of us have a tendency to feel helpless in the sense that what can one person do?
What can we do? Well, at this next election, vote, okay? Vote. Vote for candidates that stand for biblical truth and biblical principles and are willing to live them.
Most elections are not won by millions of votes. They're won by just a handful of votes. And so every vote is important.
What he got me on, he said, what about our local elections? I never heard anybody say this like this.
The mayor's races. You know how important the mayor races are? We need Christian men and women running for mayors. How about city council? We need people to run for city council. County commissioner, school board. Could you imagine if the majority of the school boards across this state were controlled by evangelical Christians? It would be huge. We need to get Christians engaged. 20 to 30 million Christians did not vote in the last election.
Christians did stay home when they could have done something.
So many didn't even vote in the last two elections. Matter of fact, I was one of them.
Photographers, you all set? I've read the news release that says you're not campaigning or endorsing.
No, I have not endorsed any candidates. This rally is about getting people to vote and voting for people across this country at every level. And that's why I want to see men and women who believe the Bible to be true to run for office, because we need people to have standards, moral standards. There's no moral standards anymore.
My father said in 1976, get involved in the political process. He said, I'd like to challenge every deeply committed American who's qualified to think about running for political office. He said, I don't believe that we as Christians should withdraw.
We need Christians at every level. We got to get the more of us to run. If we'll do that, I believe God will use it and give us favor.
There are many places where Christian men and women could get the vote if they only offer themselves. Listen, every one of you here could run for something and probably win. We need men and women in office who will look to God.
The thing that really impacted my life is when he asked us to make a pledge.
I'd like to ask you to join me in signing a pledge. This is serious business. We're fighting for our country. Number one, I pledge to honor God at home. I pledge to honor God in public. I pledge to pray faithfully for the United States of America.
Most were things you might expect, and people were saying amen and agreeing with him.
I pledge to honor God with my vote.
And he came to the fifth one. He said,
I pledge to engage in my community with God's truth and will prayerfully consider running for office myself if God so leads me. Well, a few less, but good.
People were a little nervous about that, and so I'm praying along in my heart and asking the Lord if he really wants me to do that. I felt like he was tugging at my heart, telling me that I needed to get involved and that I needed to consider running for the school board.
It was like the Lord whispered to me and said, you need to get back in the game.
We need to do something as Christians. He's put us here for a reason.
I was really comfortable in my own little niche, and running for office wasn't even a part of my thinking.
It's easy to say you want to see change and you want to get involved, but actually doing it is what I want my kids to see.
I knew that God was leading me to file and run for the state house.
I will be pursuing this race for Congress.
It's time that we quit being afraid. It's time that we quit backing up. We take a stand. We take a stand for God's truth.
This was probably the most moving event I've ever been to.
It's time for God's people to stand up.
We're not just to take our light and hide it under a bushel. We're to set it up so for the whole world to see it.
Franklin came today with a torch, lit us on fire, and said, okay, now let's go and let's burn for our city.
This is huge. Today's just the beginning.
I couldn't stop taking pictures and videos because I always want to remember this.
We need to rise up and not be passive, not be sitting at home.
This is one massive group of people saying we're not going to take things the way they are. We're going to change things together.
What impacted me the most was to not stand idly by. I need to be part of the solution.
The message was clear. Get involved.
Now it's just a wake-up call for me that I need to register to vote now.
We can't help but be excited. We can't help but raise the flag. We can't help but shout hallelujah all day long. I'm stoked, man. I'm ready.
Go home and vote and get others to vote. Run for office. Let's take this nation back. Now, you may be sitting at home wondering, what can I do? First of all, I want you to pray for our nation and its leaders. Second, I want you to vote and be registered to vote and go out and take your family and friends to be sure you vote this election. And third, I want you to prayerfully consider at some point in the future running for office yourself and making a difference in your community for Almighty God. I want to give you a chance to sign the same pledge that people all across America have been signing. I want you to go to our website right now. I want you to look up this pledge, and I want you to read it, and I want you to sign it. You see, it's a pledge to God, and it's a pledge to country. Do it right now. Listen, we need your help. This nation needs your help. And God is wanting to use you. God bless you. Thank you.
I would say pray. I would say serve. I would say teach. I would say vote. Paul, Steve, thank you for your service to our country. We honor that, your service within our country. Any of you others here are veterans. I thank you for your service. Jim, I thank you. Any other members here? I do want to recognize you. But now I also want to recognize Ole. Thank you for choosing to serve on our city council. I thank you very much for that. This made me realize just what it takes to decide to serve in that capacity. Because I always told myself, oh, I could never do that. Now I'm at least asking myself, oh, could I do that? Next week, we're going to take on Frontline Charlie. And it gets a whole thing. Because it is the church. Wow. That world. The church, all time. Versus the lie. The one that the father of lies told at the beginning and continues to tell. And the results of it are evident throughout our world. So Frontline Charlie, the church versus the lie. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have brought us here today, that you have given us your word, hopefully through my mouth. Father, we just seek to follow you. We do it imperfectly, but we do it with all of our hearts. Teach us to do that more and more each day. And teach us to keep our weapons ready. Teach us to keep our armor on. And teach us to fight that fight against the old man. That we might live as the new man you made us to be. And that we might then go out and engage our culture in the name of all of us gathered under your headship as your church. Make us more followers of you. Make us walk closer with you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this week. I tell people this all the time. Go bless somebody that's not nice to you. Okay? God bless you now.